A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall? By no means, but through their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their stumbling means riches for the world, and if their defeat means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, then the branches also are holy. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true, they were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness toward you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? So that you may not claim to be wiser than you are, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, out of Zion will come the deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved. For the sake of their ancestors, for the gift of the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 15, starting at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps on crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm going to pray as I start. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. Please be with us now as we think about how it applies in our hearts. Amen. Amen. The late Professor David Flusser, an Orthodox Jewish scholar, was once asked, "As an Orthodox Jew, you believe the Messiah is coming. But if the Messiah should come in your lifetime, what question would you ask him?" Professor Flusser replied, "Oh, that's easy. I would ask the Messiah, 'Is this your first visit or your second?'" And this passage from Romans 11, of which we read only a portion, and thank you so much. The lectionary reading was a lot shorter, but there was so much in there that we lengthened the reading. And in this section, Paul is explaining the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, a major theme of the letter to the Romans. Here, Paul explains that through Jesus' death on the cross, the Gentiles, previously outsiders to the promises given to the Israelite people, have now been grafted into the faith as co-heirs to salvation, alongside the Israelites, those of the Israelites who have accepted this salvation through grace. And our passage leans very heavily on a gardening metaphor of grafting. Now, obviously, well, not obviously, but I'm not the greatest gardener, so I had to do a bit of research into grafting. And grafting is when two trees, and they can be different species, are woven together in order to create one tree. The upper portion is called the scion, I probably pronounced that wrong, and the lower portion, the rootstock. Apparently, most modern fruit tree varieties are grafted. The rootstock provides the root system and water uptake, and the scion provides the short system and carbohydrates. And I remember a few years ago going on a walk in University Parks in Oxford and seeing these two completely different tree species, one that looked like a maple and the other one was green, but that's about as much description as I can give you. And they had woven together and become one tree. And here, Paul uses this image of grafting olive trees together as a way of explaining the salvation which has occurred for the Gentile people. So we will think this morning of the reason for the graft, the mercy of the graft, and then the hope of the graft. So firstly, the reason for the graft. Previous to the bit that we had read this morning, Paul has quoted Psalm 69. And the emphasis of that passage is that he's talking about the fact that what should have been a blessing has become a stumbling block. The Messiah, Christ, had caused the Israelites to stumble from faith. No, he doesn't say fall, he says stumble. They've been unable to embrace belief in the Messiah, and they're trying to clog the new covenant with a continual commitment to works. A writer called Hodge wrote that this was a hindrance to the gospel, and he thought that during the apostolic age, the progress of the gospel could have perhaps been 1,000 times greater if the Jews as a nation had embraced the Christian faith. However, because of their rejection, the gospel has now come to be spoken to the Gentiles, and they are being saved. In the book of Acts, there are many instances where we see Paul and his companions first going to the synagogue to preach the gospel to them, being sent away, and then preaching to the Gentiles who are converted. And in this sense, the rejection of the gospel by the Jews was riches for the Gentiles. In verse 14, Paul suggests his ministry to the Gentiles is in part aimed at making the Jews jealous. Paul hopes that as the Jews see Gentiles being saved, it will cause them jealousy, which will draw them back to faith. So they'll stumble, but then they will stand up again. Throughout the passage, he demonstrates a belief that Israel will come back. They will be saved. So that was the reason. And now let's think of the mercy of the graft. Because Paul supplies us with this powerful image of the olive tree to explain how the Gentiles have been saved. The roots of the tree represent the patriarchs. The olive tree is the Israelite people. However, some of the branches have broken off as the Israelites lack belief. And a wild shoot, a wild branch that represents the Gentiles, has been grafted in to share the nourishing root of that original tree. In this way, he's saying that the Israelite olive tree has begun to grow weak and unproductive, so the old branches are cut off and a graft was made of this wild olive. And we should be utterly shocked and delighted by this. For this wild olive shoot, representing the Gentiles, or many of us, was completely fruitless on its own. And yet, in God's mercy, he delighted to graft it in onto the promises made to the Israelites, those blessings given to the forefathers of the faith. That he would be their God, that he would know them and love them. We get to inherit this. Verse 22 speaks of this as a kindness to us, but kindness doesn't really feel like enough. We were wild, we were sinful, we were disobedient, we were unfaithful, but God took mercy on us. Christ died for us, and now we are able to be recipients of the mercy of his forgiveness as we are grafted into that olive tree. What utter, undeserved mercy. And Paul reminds us that we should not boast in our salvation, for this is totally undeserving. We stand to receive the nourishment of the root by faith, and faith alone. What has happened is unnatural. It's miraculous. A wild olive shoot bearing fruit on the olive tree that it has been grafted into. And the only way to continue is in faith. There's a warning that as the unfaithful branches of the Israelites have been snapped off, God will not spare us if we stop believing, or if we believe that our salvation has come because of our actions. Well, how can we continue to stand in faith? We need to continually remind ourselves of the mercy that we have been given and remind ourselves of it with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I am such a huge fan of the Puritan writers. I love reading their books, and if you are a Puritan fan, then let me know and we can share our favorite quotes. And I have a book of Puritan writings, and for some reason, at the beginning of the book, on the first page, I've written, as a reminder to myself, you are dead, you can do nothing, it's Christ's victory, his triumph, not my triumph. And actually, I need to be reminded of this more and more, because sometimes I can come to thinking that God loves me because of who I am and what I have to offer him. But I am a wild olive shoot that has been generously grafted into the family of God because of Christ's mercy. John Owens tells us, he was a Puritan writer, day and night, upon your beds, in your ways, on all occasions, exercise your faith on the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot have him near to you unless by these acts of faith you make yourselves continually near to him. In this way, you will abide at the wellspring. Well, I don't know about you, but I definitely want to abide at that wellspring. So what would it look like for you to continually remind yourself of this undeserved mercy? And the final section of this passage from this morning speaks of God's ultimate purpose. We see the hope of the graft. Because Paul confirms that neither Gentiles nor Jews should feel superior over each other. Their salvation is linked. Just as we have this helpful image of the olive tree, the wild olive tree needs the roots to nourish it and help it grow. And the original tree needs the new branches in order that it might come to life once more. The Gentiles have received salvation because of the hardening of the Israelite hearts. Just as you were at one time disobedient, so they too now have become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy. They're linked. They will grow in faith together because you can't have the Jews without the Gentiles in this tree. They need each other. And God's ultimate purpose for the world is salvation for all. In verse 32, it says, "For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all." Mercy on them all. That is God's hope for our world. And this should encourage us in sharing our faith with our friends, because we should recognize that this is a great mercy. And there isn't one person out there who might not come to know a living faith with Jesus. And I don't know about you, sometimes I forget that. And sometimes I think, as I try and share my faith with my friends, this person will never believe. Absolutely no way. But that's not true. So is there someone that you could be praying for and that you could be thinking about sharing your faith with, believing that they might come to know the mercy of God's love? So I guess as I end this morning, I'd really love for you to just take that image of the olive tree with you. I think it's a really powerful and helpful image for us to remember this passage. We are the wild olive branches that have been grafted in to the promises given to the forefathers many thousands of years ago. Let's delight in that mercy, and let's consider if there's someone that we could be sharing it with in our lives. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, the mercy that you have given to all of us. Please might we love you more and seek to become more like you, and be more courageous in sharing our faith with others. Amen.